thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Last week, if you were here, we had a healing service, and it was just amazing, just people coming forward, looking for God to touch them, looking for God to heal them. I was reading a testimony this afternoon before I came in, and the woman wrote in that she came forward for a couple of things. One is she was having serious intestinal problems, and then also depression. And she received prayer and felt immediately God's Spirit touching her. And she has not had any of the intestinal problems since. And she felt the faith she's been on depression medication for about 5 years. She felt the faith to go off of that, hasn't been on that for a whole week. And so God touched her. God healed her. So glory to God. Let's give the Lord a clap offering and just say, God, thanks for touching people. And I know many people were touched last week. If you were touched, send us an email. We would love to hear about it. Well, one of the questions that we received, I think would be a great starting point when we're looking up, kind of wrapping up the series on the Holy Spirit. The question says, why did Jesus need to be led by the Spirit if he was God in the flesh? Is the Spirit the same as the Holy Spirit? And when we're looking at the life of Jesus, one of the things that we see about Jesus is even though he was 100% God, 100% man, the second person of the Trinity, he put aside his prerogative to live out as God, and he chose to rely on the Holy Spirit in the exact same way that you and I do. And after I saw this question, I said to Blake, Saturday, I said, Blake, we could have done a whole sermon just on Jesus's reliance on the Holy Spirit, Jesus communing with the Father through the Holy Spirit, and how he chose to live like you and I, dependent upon the Holy Spirit. It says in Matthew chapter 3, in his baptism, that the heavens were opened to him and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. So at that time, the time of his water baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and he became the God-man, but living his life just like you and I do, totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And we see in Christ all the gifts of the Spirit. We see healing. We see casting out demons. We see words of wisdom. We see words of knowledge. We see faith. We see all the gifts of the Spirit except for one. We never see Jesus or hear of him speaking in tongues. And that was because as the God-man, he did not need that gift, because that gift was to allow us a greater empowering. That gift was to allow us a greater communing with God, which he didn't need because he was 100% God. So Jesus was led by the Spirit just like you and I are, so that he could be the perfect high priest to stand in our place and say, I was tempted like they were. I relied on the Holy Spirit like they were, and I could die for their sins in their place. Well, let's take a look at a few of the other questions that came in. One of them was, do I have too much sin in my life if I pray for the Holy Spirit and nothing happens? Now, that's a great question, and it's a question that nags a lot of people. And it could be praying for the gifts of tongues. It could be maybe you're praying for people to get healed. It could be any number of areas in this whole realm of speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. Is it because I'm too much of a sinner? Well, let me answer it a couple different ways. One way is you might have serious sin in your life that God's trying to speak to you about, and you need to repent of it before God can pour out more of his Spirit and more of his gifts upon you. But here's the flip side. The gifts of the Spirit are gifts. And they're not given because we're holy enough. They're not given because we're good enough. They're given by the grace of God. And we're to receive them by the grace of God. None of us are perfect enough to be a Christian. We're Christians because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And the same thing with the gifts of the Spirit. None of us are perfect enough to heal someone, to give a prophetic word, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. God gives us these things as gifts, and we're to receive them as gifts. So yes, as God shows us sins, we do want to repent, but we also want to receive His gifting as a gift from Him. Now here's another question kind of on the same line. So do I have to be filled with the Spirit to be saved or a good Christian? And we said a couple weeks ago that speaking in tongues is not a sign of salvation. Faith in Christ is a sign of salvation. And what kind of a Christian we are isn't based on what kind of gifts we have. God's looking for character, not gifts. And we talked about the Corinthian church, that they had all sorts of gifts, but they had no character. God called them carnal. So, no, you don't have to be filled with the Spirit. No, you don't have to speak in tongues to be saved or a good Christian. Now, Blake, I'm going to throw this question your way. I don't feel comfortable doing the gifting of the Holy Spirit. Am I a bad Christian for not feeling comfortable about the gifts of the Spirit?
Well, that, obviously that is a loaded question. So let me see if I can unload it just a little bit. I think, first of all, we need to all understand this. When we give our lives to Christ, the Holy Spirit has come to live inside of us. That's a matter of fact. That's scripturally true. So the Holy Spirit is now living inside of us. There's a difference sometimes between what has happened positionally and what we know is going on experientially. I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. Several years ago, the first time I met Pastor Roger, we sat down and I met him. We had a great conversation. It was easy to have that kind of a conversation. It wasn't until 4 years ago that I came on staff and started to work with him experientially that I really got to know him, that I really got to know the person of Pastor Roger Funk. And I think when it comes to the giftings of the Holy Spirit, and we'll answer some more questions as we go a little bit further here, the giftings of the Holy Spirit are another part of the person of the Holy Spirit. And when we understand that, we walk in the revelation of what the Word says about the giftings of the Holy Spirit, experientially, we have a greater understanding of that person of the Holy Spirit that came to live on the inside of me the day that I said, Jesus, I love you and I want to live my life for you. So there's a process of walking that out and understanding what that means. I think maybe a simple way to say it would be this, and then Carl, I'll turn it over to you for the next question. We'll kind of open up a little bit of a dialogue here. The Holy Spirit is our spiritual GPS. We put so much confidence in our GPSs today, in our phones or in our cars, and really the Holy Spirit is our GPS, and oftentimes He operates and exercises His rule and His reign in our lives through giftings, through the workings of His Spirit in our lives. And I think a greater understanding comes the longer that we walk with God. So let's ask this question, then kind of answer it in conjunction with the question you just asked me, Pastor Roger. Why are the gifts of the Holy Spirit then, why is that such a big deal for people? Truth is, today, a lot of people, and depending on what kind of a church you go into, people will say that the gifts were for back then. The gifts were for the book of Acts, and they're not really for today. Is that biblically true, guys?
Well, a lot of people do say that, and a lot of people do teach that. But as you study the Holy Spirit and the giftings of the Holy Spirit, that can't possibly be accurate, because we see it being manifested in our lives, particularly in ministry, on a regular basis. So it can't possibly be just something that went away when the apostolic age went away. I always say it started at that point. It didn't end at that point. So that's one of the things that always stick out in my mind. The other thing that I noticed, Pastor Roger and Pastor Blake, is that people say these gifts went away. What's the big deal about them? Well, the big deal about them is God instituted them. And if God instituted them, they are a big deal. And, you know, the gifts of the Spirit are not for us personally. The gifts of the Spirit are for the body. And it's to build up and to edify the body. It's not for a personal edification, although that is a byproduct of it, because we do get edified when we operate in those gifts. But, you know, to me, it's just, I'm on a super high when I see somebody operating in a gift and you see something take place right before your eyes. I mean, there's nothing that excites me more than that. So it is a big deal.
You know, a lot of people say, do we really need the gifts here in America? Sure, they need them overseas. They don't have the health care that we have. They have poverty that we don't have. But, you know, here in America, all we really need is we need excellence. We need to look as much like corporate America as we can. We need to have good arguments about the faith. We don't really need the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I believe we do need all those things. I'm glad that, you know, when you come into this worship center, it says, you know, Jesus cares about beauty and things being done well, and our sound is good, and our lights are good, and our musicians are good, and, you know, hopefully our messages are good. But the Greco-Roman world that the early church was in was just as much into philosophy as we are. In fact, maybe even more so. They loved philosophy. They loved to debate. And then the Jews, the same thing. But yet, in spite of that, although the early church could debate when needed, they didn't feel like they didn't need the gifts. They knew that the gifts and the message went together. They weren't divorced one from another. And I think in America today, we need to be reminded that it's the gifts and the message that go together. And so no matter where you are, if you're on the CU Boulder campus, you're at your workplace, you're in your neighborhood, there are places where God wants to use the gifts. And God wants us to use the gifts in supernatural, natural ways. Not to look weird, not that people say, boy, those are the weirdest people I've ever seen. But God can give you supernatural insight into people's lives. People are sick everywhere, of all ages. There are sicknesses. You know, we've kind of come to, or at least we're coming to, a place in America where the feeling that doctors can cure everything, we're starting to come to the conclusion they can't cure everything. That turns people back to God again. So yeah, we need the message. We need excellence. But we need the gifts too if we're really going to impact our society.
Yeah, let me say a couple more things about that. Let me read a portion of Scripture from the book of Romans and then explain something as I read this. When you read the book of Romans and you read about the Apostle Paul and the struggle and the battle that he talks about in Romans 6 and Romans 7 about the battle of the flesh, and Paul says, the things that I want to do, I'm not doing. The things I don't want to do, I'm doing. And Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 11, let me read this to you. Here's what Paul said, and here's what the Scriptures teach us. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life. There's the key. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Then Paul goes on to say this. You, however, say that's me. Say that's me like you mean it. You, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, if you are a born-again believer, if you've given your life to Christ, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. So let's settle that issue. So the Spirit of God lives inside of me. And if anyone does not have the Spirit, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead to sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. So here's the real battle that goes on. I give my life to God at 20 years old, and I still have a sinful nature. The flesh does not go away. You don't outgrow the flesh. You battle the flesh all the days of your life. Now, who's in control in your life? Is it the Spirit of God or is it the flesh? And so let me just really quickly tell you about what I see as three categories of giftings in the Scriptures. And I want to challenge you to unpack these yourself and really research them. God gives gifts. Would we all agree? God gives gifts to us. Now, I can find at least three categories of giftings in the Scriptures. I can find the ministry gifts in the book of Ephesians. God has given some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Those are gift set. That is a gift set from the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 would be what I would call motivational gifts. Those are personality gifts. We all have them. God has given those gifts to us. Then we have what we would call the manifestation gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And those gifts, according to the Spirit of God, according to the Word of God, those seem to be the gifts that freak people out. And those seem to be the gifts that scare people. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, signs, wonders, miracles, faith, those kind of gifts seem to scare people away. Those are the things that we should be embracing from God. Those are the gifts that we should be saying, like you said, Pastor Roger, that we need today, that we should be embracing and saying, God, do it. Move and work in and through my life.
Amen. You know, if God gave us the gifts, it's really up to us to use them. I mean, God could use the giftings any way that he wanted to, but he chose to do it through his people. And what is even more wonderful is he gave it to the church. It's for the church. It's not for the world. So these are things for us, set aside, special, unique things that we should be doing, not putting them down, not trying to disguise it or call it something else. It is what it is. And if it's speaking in tongues and it's in the Word, and then that's one of the gifts of the Spirit, if we have the gift of tongues, we need to be using it, not sitting on it.
Yes.
Now, is it true that if you're going to move in the gifts, you have to be a little weird? Like you have to shake when you talk, you have to, spit has to fly out of your mouth, and you have to use old King James. And your goal when you're using the gifts is to be as spooky as possible.
Yes.
So a lot of people feel that way. And sometimes you flip on the Christian TV and you see some of the stuff going on. You think, oh, that's what that is. And so some people reject it because they don't want to be weird, goofy, spit on people and speak in old King James. So is that how you have to be?
Great question. I would say absolutely not. There's a difference between goofy and godly. When you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when Paul is talking, Paul says, if you have a tongue, in other words, if you're going to speak in a tongue publicly and you know there's not an interpretation of that tongue, or you know there's not somebody there to interpret the tongue, don't give the tongue. So for people to say, well, the Spirit of God came on me and I couldn't control myself, is not biblical. It is not biblical and it does not line up with Scripture. So there's a difference between goofy and godly. Now, having said that, I think there's also immaturity and inexperience. We need to celebrate immaturity. We need to celebrate that. We celebrate that in youth. When we see our kids that are immature and young, we don't slap them around for making mistakes. We celebrate that, and we instruct them, and we guide them in that. So when it comes to understanding of the gifts of the Spirit, we should celebrate that. And if there's immaturity or inexperience, we should teach into it, speak into it, and not shut it down. We're not going to shut it down because it got a little goofy. We're going to correct it, and we're going to celebrate it.
And you know, it's interesting that 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, is in between the two chapters on the gifts of the Spirit. When we think of 1 Corinthians 13, we think of the context, and it certainly fits in these contexts, friendship, church life, marriage, family, all of those kind of things. But if you go back and you read 1 Corinthians 13 the way that Blake just said about youthfulness, whether it's youthfulness in age or new in the gifts, 1 Corinthians 13 speaks to that. What kind of attitude are we to have as people are struggling to find maturity in the gifts? And it's kind of a whole different way to look at it, but it's certainly a context that Paul's bringing out in 1 Corinthians 13.
A lot of people think you have to get really emotional and show a lot of emotion when you're operating in a gift. Well, that's not true. I've had people that I've actually had to stop what they were doing because they were so out of line. As a lot of you might know, Lonnie and I, we started the Healing Room, and through the course of all that, we saw all kinds of things. And I can recall someone who, every time they prayed with someone, they had to shake like crazy. And I remember putting my hand on that person to stop them. And they said exactly what you said. They said, oh, well, that's how I act when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of me. And I said, no, you can control it. You don't have to shake like that. So a lot of people think that they got to get really emotional and all excited. And I don't think that's true. You can operate in the Spirit without acting crazy. Yeah.
Or yelling, screaming.
Absolutely. And on the flip side of that, there are going to be times that we step out in boldness and declare authority, and we're going to speak to things in the Spirit. So there's times, too, that we are going to get and be emotional. Think about life in your home. There are times when you're low-key. There are times when you're emotional and you're expressive. And I think in the church, we should be teaching healthy and safe boundaries when it comes to the giftings. We first of all need to recognize we don't have it all figured out. Second of all, if we exercise and walk within the boundaries of Scripture, we are going to blow it from time to time. Who cares? Who cares? We're going to go back to the Word, and we're going to say, okay, I've learned from that, and we're going to walk in it. We don't want to limit what God wants to do. I was thinking about this today when I was at home. I was thinking about, again, what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. No eye has seen, listen to this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for them that love God. But then it goes on to say this. We quote that scripture often, but we don't read the one after that. But God has revealed it by His Spirit. So God has all of these things that He wants to reveal to us. Sometime the vehicle that God reveals it is gifts. And God reveals these things that we've not seen, we've not heard, and we've not understood. And oftentimes it comes through the giftings. And if we don't allow God to work and be at home in the temple, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Where is God going to be at home to work?
That's good.
If He's not at home in our lives to work?
Amen. But let me just kind of play the other side for a moment. It says to receive a prophet in the name of a prophet. In other words, honor them for their prophetic gift, and then you'll receive a prophet's reward. So while the gifts of the Spirit, and maybe we call it out of bounds weirdness, don't have to go together, here's one thing I have found, is that people that are really strong in the gifts usually don't come in the personality type of an accountant. You know what I'm talking about? Like if you were to go into an art studio, you're going to expect to find personalities in there that maybe on the eccentric continuum might be a little on the other side from the accountant personality. So if you're going to receive gifts, on one hand, you're not looking for the weirdest person you can find. But if the person isn't all buttoned down in a three-piece suit, don't be freaked out either. Realize that God gives sometimes different giftings to different personality types. And a lot of people, I wouldn't call Carl a big example of this because he's pretty normal. But I know some prophetic types that, you know, I wouldn't call them weird, but they're closer to that side of the continuum. You know what I'm saying? And so if you're receiving prayer from someone for healing or a prophetic word, and maybe they don't look like they just graduated from business school or accountant school, that's okay. Because everyone doesn't have to fit this little box either to be used of God. Right. But if someone's too far out, then maybe they need an encouraging word from you that, hey, you could kind of cut that back a little bit and actually be more effective in your ministry.
Let's shift a little bit here from the giftings of the Holy Spirit to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We hear that terminology, baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? So if biblically it is true that once I give my heart to Jesus Christ, I have received the Holy Spirit. If that is biblically true, and I didn't just get an arm of the Holy Spirit or a part of the Holy Spirit, if I got the entirety of the person of the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of my heart the day I gave my heart to Christ, what does that mean? And that's one of the questions. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What does that mean?
Well, you know, there's been so much controversy over this topic. And if there's anything that's going to divide people or churches or groups, that's a biggie. You know, to me, being baptized in the Spirit is something along the lines like you talked about a couple weeks ago. Do you remember you talked about the wiring in the house and the switch? Do you remember that? And I thought that was a great analogy. In fact, I stole it from you. I thought it was so good I used it in a seminar. But what it taught me at the moment when you said that is our houses are already pre-wired. And you related that to being born again. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes in, and you're already wired with the Holy Spirit. But when you go over and you flip that switch to turn on the light or whatever that appliance is, you are releasing that electricity from the house. And the same way with the Holy Spirit, you're releasing the inherent miraculous power of the Holy Spirit into your life. And so being baptized in the Spirit is that release of that Holy Spirit that's already in there. It's just like another spiritual level that the Holy Spirit tends to want to take us to. And a lot of people resist that, and it's so unfortunate because there is so much available to us when we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so, you know, that's kind of what it means to be baptized in the Spirit to me. It's a release. I don't know, what's your thoughts about that, Pastor?
You know, it's so tough to explain it because you tell someone you have something, but yet there's something more for you. How do you try to explain that dichotomy? Well, the word baptism itself, when we talked about this a couple weeks ago, means to be enveloped. And if you think about water baptism, when someone is water baptized, they're enveloped in water. We dunk them completely underneath the water, and that's what the word baptism means. I heard one person explain it this way, and all these kind of analogies, they're imperfect, but they help us to understand it. That when we're born again, we're like a pitcher, or maybe we'll take this bottle as an example. It's empty. The Holy Spirit's not in us before we're born again. When we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes and fills us up. So we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, this bottle then full is then put into a... It's leaking. Sometimes we do leak the Holy Spirit. This bottle is put into a tub of water. So not only do we have water in us, we have water all around us. It's a greater enveloping of the Holy Spirit.
Excellent analogies. I think what we don't understand, what we can't explain in the natural, tends to frighten us. And so There are times that we hold at arm's length the things of God because we don't understand them. And for some of us, it's a matter of stepping out of the boat and saying, God, I trusted you with my life when I surrendered my life to you. I'm going to trust you with the operation of your Spirit, who, by the way, you said to all of us in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, I got to go. I have to go. I have to go. I have to go because we've got a better plan. And the better plan is that the Holy Spirit is not just going to come on you for certain opportunities in life, but the Holy Spirit is going to come and live in you. In the Old Testament understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit would come on people to do supernatural things. But Jesus' plan, the plan of the Godhead was in the New Testament, not anymore like that. The Holy Spirit's not going to come on us. The Holy Spirit's going to be in us, and then he'll minister through us. And I remember one of my experiences when I first came to the Lord, gave my life to the Lord. Somebody said, well, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? I said, well, what does that mean? And they said, well, do you speak in tongues? I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. And they sent me to a room, and they didn't do this out of anything other than ignorance. They sent me to a room, and they said, well, sit in this room until you get it. And I said, get what? I had no understanding of what it was that they were talking about. Well, sit in this chair and sit in this room until you get it, and get what? I didn't understand it, and I don't know how to explain it other than the Spirit of God knows where to meet you. You don't have to have a high IQ. The Spirit of God knows where to meet you. And if you're open to what God wants to do, and I came to realize that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the understanding of the Holy Spirit, person of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, was not necessarily the goal, but it was the gateway to the supernatural. There's a big difference. The goal for a believer should not be, I've been baptized in the Spirit of God, so now I'm going to speak in tongues. That should not be the goal. That should be the gateway to the supernatural. It should be the gateway into saying, God, now you can move and work in my life, and I'm going to allow you to operate in and through my life like I trusted you with my life at the cross. I'm going to trust you with my life today for my future.
That's good. And that, I think that's a great explanation of it, Blake. One of the questions that came in is, can I move in the other gifts if I don't speak in tongues? And the answer is yes. Speaking in tongues, as we said a couple weeks ago, is the normal, usual sign of speaking in tongues. When a sign is given in the New Testament, it's always that sign. Now, there are some places where a sign isn't given, but it's implied. It's something you can see. It's something you can hear. But I've known people who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of them don't speak in tongues till much later, weeks, sometimes months later. Yep. I've known some people that flow in all the gifts, but have never spoken in tongues. Okay. So that is possible. So why tongues? We didn't really have a chance to get to it a couple weeks ago. Tongues is a way to commune with God in prayer. It's a way to edify yourself, to build yourself up as you're getting torn down by life. It's a way to receive a greater empowering in the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot of benefits. It's not just a silly sign that you use once, but it's a prayer language. I speak in tongues every single day. It's just part of my devotional life. Just like I open the Bible, I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, I'm speaking in tongues. They're all intertwined. I don't say, okay, 5 minutes of tongues, 5 minutes of this. It's kind of like mixing a cake. It's different every day. I'm just flowing in it, the word, prayer, worship, tongues, they're all just flowing together. And God wants that to be available to every Christian. But on the other hand, if you're seeking after it, you're asking God for it, you haven't received it yet, don't get so hung up on it that you ruin the rest of your Christian walk or you're constantly discouraged because you haven't received it yet. Keep asking God for it in the same way you would ask God for any gift. Maybe you're struggling financially. You don't give up asking God to bless you financially. No, if you're really struggling financially, I guarantee you ask for God's financial blessing every single day. If you need healing, you're asking God for healing every single day. All of God's gifts are like that. There's things in my life that I'm hungering after, things that I want to see God do in my life and my loved ones. I ask God for it every single day. Do I sometimes get discouraged because it hasn't happened yet? You bet. But I don't stop asking. And it's the same way with the gifts of the Spirit, with speaking in tongues. Don't get discouraged. Keep asking.
Some people say, well, if I speak in tongues, I won't be in control. I'm afraid to speak in tongues because I won't know what's coming out. I won't know what's going on. And so we asked Carl, as we were preparing for this panel, we asked him if he would speak in tongues. Because we have to understand that
he's the only one brave enough out of the three of us.
I'm the shortest of the ones up here. I drew the short straw. So.
Sorry, Blake.
No, I mean, I think it kind of scares people away. And we said, would you just speak in tongues for a minute? And just to help us to understand that you can move into a prayer language. You know, in the book of Acts, when people were speaking in tongues, they were speaking in a dialect that unknown people groups understood. That's a tongue. There's also a personal prayer language that is a tongue that we communicate with God through, and it's our heavenly prayer language. And we can, like Pastor Roger was saying, we can pray in our English tongue or in our prayer language as we're flowing with God. So we ask Carl if he would be willing to do that for just a moment tonight, and so he's going to do that, and we pray it doesn't scare you. It's part of how he communicates with God. So, Carl, would you just...
Well, I need to say this first. You know, we ask the question, what's the benefit of speaking in tongues? Why do we want to do that? Well, let me give you one that's a biggie for me. And I know many of us fall into this category. Sometimes you just get to a point where you don't know how to pray about something. You've done everything you can, you know, you're at the end and you just don't know what to pray anymore. And the scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit prays for us with such groanings and utterings that we can't understand. That the Holy Spirit in me prays directly to my Father what I call the perfect prayer. If it's my spirit praying directly to the Father, it's the perfect prayer. It can't be anything but perfect. And so, you know, I have a situation going on in my life right now that fits that scenario. I have a grandson that this poor kid, if trouble comes to him like a magnet. I mean, no matter what he does, if danger is lurking around the corner, it finds him. And I've prayed for that kid, and I talked with him, and I have done everything in my power to try and spare him or protect him. And I just, you know, I'm at the end. I don't know how to pray for him anymore. So what I do is I pray in the Spirit, but when I pray with a thought in mind. I have a purpose why I'm going to pray to my Father. And if I was to do that in an earthly language, it would sound like I'm speaking now. But if I was to do it in my heavenly language, I would fix that thought or reason in my mind why I want to pray to my Father, and I would just indola bakashandola masoto irorio kondara mahishu fola katata sandare mihiku rondara mapashindara makasata. Now, in my spirit, I know that I'm praying for my grandson. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you what you just prayed, sometimes you won't know. But we've had people ask the question, what is speaking in tongues? And we misinterpreted what they were asking. They were asking, what does it sound like? And so if you should happen to be in the room and maybe that might fit you, that's what it sounds like when it comes out of me. But what might come out of you might be totally different. Everybody's prayer language is different. There's no one right way or one wrong way. It's whatever the Holy Spirit gave you. And what you heard out of me was just the way it happens to work for me. But I'm sure it's different with you as it is with you.
And mine's much simpler, much duller, which is why I don't want to do it out loud. But I say that because some people, they received the gift of tongues, but they were expecting like, you know, an orchestra, the heavens opened, angels singing, and instead it was like some syllables, mm-hmm. kind of boring, and they thought, well, I must not have gotten it. But when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was about the most unspectacular thing you could imagine. But I just kept doing it, And the language itself still, I think, is pretty unspectacular, much not nearly as nice as yours. But the results are really good. So I keep doing it.
You know, I think sometimes we complicate our walk with God. And He doesn't want it complicated. People say, well, why should I speak in tongues? My question would be, why not speak in tongues? If the Bible says speak in tongues, then why would I fight that, or why would I push against that? And in the natural, it would be because I don't understand it. Well, we don't understand. The mind of man cannot comprehend the things of God, so you cannot remove the faith element of that. The Bible tells us in other places when it comes to God's Spirit, because remember, Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of this temple, and He wants to be in charge. And the Scriptures tell us not to quench the Holy Spirit. One of the most damaging things that you can do to children is not to allow them to express themselves and not to allow them to be who God created them to be. And when we quench the Holy Spirit, whether it's through the operation of the gifts, and we don't let the Holy Spirit work and move through our lives because we wouldn't be in control, whether it's through gifts or whether it's through baptism in the Holy Spirit or speaking in tongues, we are quenching the Spirit of God. We are quenching the potential and the possibility that lies within each one of us that can only uniquely be expressed through you and through your personality. And so if you quench that, you limit not only what God wants to do in your life, but like you had said earlier, Carl, the gifts are not for me. The gifts are for you. The gifts are for other people. So if the gifts are quenched in me, then I'm really, in essence, robbing you. Amen. Not only myself, but I'm robbing you.
Amen. Well, what I'd like us to do in closing, Carl has a unique ability. We, part of the series, we spent a night with our youth. And one of the gifts that God has given Carl, and I didn't tell him I was going to do this, so he's even wondering, well, what's he going to say? One of the gifts that God has given Carl is the ability to impart faith into people's lives that they can move in the gifts of the Spirit. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for certain people. It's for all believers. So, Carl, yeah, give the Lord a clap offering.
Yes.
Carl, would you take just a couple of minutes to just speak faith into everyone that's here, and me and Blake, speak faith into our hearts that the gifts of the Spirit are for all of us. And then would you just pray over us that the gifts would just flow in a greater way through us?
And right before you do that, Carl, let me just tell on you. Okay. I'm going to tell on you a little bit. We did kind of a little bit of a debrief, or whatever you would call it, pre-brief, before we came tonight. And one of the things that Carl said in his humility was that he wanted to kind of sit in the third seat, so to speak, because he was up here on the platform with a couple pastors, and didn't resonate in my spirit right. And the reason it didn't resonate in my spirit right is because God is no respecter of persons.
Right.
And so the exercising of the gifts in your life have nothing to do with whether or not you're a pastor.
Right.
It has to do whether or not you've yielded to the move of God's Spirit in your life.
Amen.
And so I'm glad that you spontaneously, Pastor Roger, asked you, Carl, to pray that over us, because God is no respecter of persons. And I'm going to be open, and I'm going to receive, and I want imparted to me everything that God has for me.
Close your eyes. I want you to just put everything aside for right now. Take everything out of your mind and just focus on the Holy Spirit. I want you to just picture in your mind your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Is it where you want it to be? Could it be better? Are there things we need to do to maybe open up our relationship with the Holy Spirit? You know, sometimes it's just making a commitment in our heart and just saying, Holy Spirit, I want more of you. I want more of you. Holy Spirit, I want you to control my life. I want everything that the Father has for me as your son or your daughter to be full in my life. I don't want to walk and let the enemy have any power over me. I don't want to be intimidated or in fear of anything from the world. I want nothing but your Holy Spirit controlling every thought, every action, every motive, everything that I do. I want the Holy Spirit to be in control of. Can we say that tonight? Could we just really open our hearts, maybe like we've never opened them before, and just said, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I have to have you. Holy Spirit, come to me tonight in new and in fresh ways. Pour yourself all over me. Holy Spirit, just knock me to the ground. It's so heavy, your presence in my life. Holy Spirit, just consume me in everything that I do so that I can be closer to my Father and to help the body of Christ. I ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.